Nice to have you on board here. So,
Absolutely.
where are we here? We are about a week as we talk. We're about a week into the announcement of the president's transportation or infrastructure plan. What do you think? What do you think of his plan? What's the ATM's position on it?
So I think, our ATM, which is our Coalition of Business and Labor, we're excited to see focus at the national level on the need to modernize our infrastructure. For too long, we've been patchworking infrastructure that was built 50 to 100 years ago. And so the president's proposal is beginning a debate in Congress on enacting, an infrastructure modernization plan. And so that's good. I think the plan lays out a pretty comprehensive view. I think for some of our members, the view of infrastructure may have broadened a bit from our traditional transportation networks, our water systems, broadband. But, look, I think it's important that this debate is happening. Our coalition is willing to work with Republicans and Democrats to work on enhancing this plan and getting it to the finish line, because the American people deserve modern infrastructure. And if we don't get congressional action, it's another year lost to not have the type of infrastructure that other parts of the world are getting. The World Economic Forum just ranked our infrastructure 13th. We know the investments that China and other developing countries are making. And we think as we're getting out of a pandemic, we're looking for long-term economic growth. Modernizing our infrastructure makes a lot of sense, creates good jobs, provides a better quality of life, and allows us to compete in the global marketplace.
Having roads that don't fall apart, having bridges that don't crumble, having an infrastructure, having a broadband network that people can communicate on easily, this sounds like a no-brainer. But yet, there's been a lot of pushback on this plan. I personally don't get it. But what do you see? Why is this coming up with a lot of opposition?
Well, I think the concern is, I think everyone on a bipartisan basis agrees we need to modernize infrastructure, but defining what infrastructure is and then making sure that, how to pay for it is a big question. Our Coalition of Businesses and Labor have traditionally supported for our roads, bridges, and transit a user fee, which is through the federal gasoline tax. We haven't adjusted that since 1993. We believe it needs to be adjusted to make up for the lost in purchasing power that inflation's taken from it since 1993. The Biden plan that as released called for increasing taxes on the corporate rate, it would be very different from the way we've paid to infrastructure debate to date. And so, some of our members are going to have some concern about that. Many of us have provided both funding and financing options that are more traditional in the ways that users pay for modernizing the infrastructure. So that's going to be a big part of the debate is how we pay for it. And then again, focusing limited resources on where's the federal role in infrastructure? We've always viewed it as our transportation networks. Obviously, rural broadband is a big issue. Our water systems, some of our clean energy stuff. Once you get beyond that, I think there's members of Congress who are concerned that the federal role in a lot of those issues is getting too broad. So again, as the process moves forward, I think we can get to a point where we focus in on core infrastructure and get to a point where we can get some Republicans and Democrats to really address an issue that the American people have been waiting for some time.
Yeah, as you say, waiting for some time. We were promised something like this 4 years ago, and nothing ever happened, not even close to I don't even think we had a proposal as far as an infrastructure plan goes. So again, it kind of begs the question, what took so long?
Well, I think, again, unfortunately, other priorities came up in the previous administration and the previous Congresses. We have a lot of starts and stops. President Trump did put out a broad proposal, but unfortunately, there was no way to pay for it, and so it didn't really take off the ground. And so unfortunately, it's been easier to just Band-Aid our old infrastructure instead of like coming up with a comprehensive vision to modernize it. You know, Dwight Eisenhower had that vision when he built the interstate highway system. You know, President Roosevelt did the inland waterways. We need that type of vision. And then we believe state and local governments will provide resources as well, because this is a shared responsibility. It's not all on the federal government. But again, state and local governments have been doing their job over the last several years. It's the federal government that kind of now has to step up with both investment and a vision for building a 21st century infrastructure.
Mm-hmm. Let's talk about this ranking of America as America's infrastructure. We went from 9th place to 13th place. That's not a good move, and especially since we're 13th place, that doesn't bode well for us, I don't think, in many ways. But as Maury said before I talked to you here, if we're 13th in infrastructure, that means that's got to mean that the rest of this whole, you know, the rest of the industry, the rest of America has to be lagging. And if the infrastructure goes, doesn't everything else kind of go with it, go downhill too?
Absolutely. I mean, look, we view infrastructure as kind of the circulatory system of our economy. It allows us to compete globally. It also provides a quality of life. Those folks who need to get to work, pick up their kid after school, get to a soccer game, get to a ballet recital. We need infrastructure, and we need it in a way that we're seeing population continue to grow. And because we're not doing the modernization of infrastructure, the latest statistics shows our economy loses $170 billion annually in lost productivity. The average American loses up to 40 hours a year sitting in a car in congestion because of inadequate infrastructure. So the American Society of Civil Engineers says that the average American loses $3,100 a year due to inadequate infrastructure. So we all know the problems, and we need the solutions. It actually costs us more to do nothing than it does to invest in building a 21st century infrastructure. And so we're encouraging the American people to contact their members of Congress, tell them that, you know, stop talking about it, start acting on it, and don't give us the excuses for why it can't get done. Tell us how you're going to lead our country to address these issues. This is the same country that put a man on the moon, that built the interstate highway system, the Hoover Dam. We have the ingenuity to do it. The business community wants to be part of that solution. If our coalition of business and labor can come together on these issues, there's no reason that Democrats and Republicans can't come together.
What kind of timeline are you looking at for having this? What would you like to see? I mean, of course, we'd like to see it happen today, but that's right. Not realistic. What are we looking at? What's a reasonable timeline for getting some of this done?
So, you know, the committees in Congress have already started doing hearings on this bill and this proposal. I think you're going to start seeing more concrete proposals come out of the Congress in May. The Speaker of the House said that the House would like to take up an infrastructure bill before the July 4th period. I think the reality is that by the time we get a bill to the president's desk, it's probably going to be the end of the summer, early fall.
Okay. Now, here's the other question. Since $2 trillion is a lot of money, what are the possibilities, or what's the chance that the bill that actually gets to the president's desk has been whittled down to almost nothing?
Well, I don't think it can get down to nothing because, again, the needs are so great. They're well documented. Is there going to be some revisions in the bill? Absolutely. That's a legislative process. But again, the needs are documented. You know, American Society of Civil Engineers says we have a $2.5 trillion infrastructure deficit. So the number is huge. But again, these are investments we're going to make over a 10-year period. And the investments that are going to be made are going to last us 50 to 100 years. We have a different climate than a lot of the infrastructure we built back in the 50s. And so we need to build infrastructure that is able to handle the different climate conditions, that's going to be more durable, and that's going to last. And so, you know, while a lot of people focus on the dollar figure, these are investments over time. Just like you get a mortgage on your house, Investing in infrastructure is going to provide an asset that the American people can benefit from for many years to come.
Tell me about the Americans for Transportation Mobility Coalition. Who are you?
Sure. So we are a coalition. We're actually in our 20th year. And we were created by the U.S. Chamber of Commerce, by Labor's International Union, the Operating Engineers, Road Builders. And so we've come together kind of as we don't always agree on all the solutions, but we agree that there needs to be a federal focus on modernizing our infrastructure. And so we've been advocating both in Washington, and we talk about projects all over the country that need investment to make sure that we have a 21st century infrastructure, that we are able to have a good, better quality of life for our citizens. And so, you know, our coalition has stuck together for 20 years, which is a long time. But we think this 20th year could be the year we actually get that major federal investment that then state and local governments can follow up with. So we're very encouraged about the start of this process. It's a lot of work to get it done. But our members are committed to stand by Republicans and Democrats who are willing to come up with solutions to the problem.
When you talk to folks in Congress, and I don't know if you've done that in the last week, have you talked to folks in Congress? What do they say? What are their opinions? I mean, we hear them on the TV shows, but what are they telling you?
So I've had the pleasure of talking to members of Congress. Of course, we do it all now over Zoom instead of in person.
Right.
I have had the pleasure of talking to several of them. I think there's a recognition that their action needs to happen. Obviously, there's parts of the proposal that members like, there's parts that don't. But I think there's an understanding that doing nothing, this is a key role of the federal government to provide interstate commerce. And I think both Republicans and Democrats realize doing nothing is not going to be well received by the American people. And so while there's disputes about this part of the proposal or that part of the proposal, there is a recognition that this is something we really should be able to figure out how to address. And so we're optimistic by the initial feedback from the president's proposal, and we're going to continue to work these members moving forward to get them to some solution.
What is the sticking point that bothers people who are against this most? Some people don't like parts of the program. What's the part that's the stickiest?
So I think the two main issues that we're hearing, and again, I'm hearing this from some of our members as well, is what is infrastructure? So some of the Biden proposal included schools, hospital, home care, and I think they're very meritorious programs, but there's a question, do they belong in a federal infrastructure bill? So the focus on what is infrastructure, I think that's the one area that there's some disagreements on. The other part is how are we paying for this? But as I mentioned, the Biden proposal calls for increasing corporate taxes. The business community is very against that. We've always paid for these programs through a user fee. The Biden team has said that they don't want to charge any fees to anyone under $400,000, but that's kind of counterintuitive to how we built and maintained this infrastructure over the last 50 years. So those are kind of the sticking points to date. But again, I think these are sticking points that we can work through. I don't see them as insurmountable. But again, it's going to take continued pressure from American people to say, you got to solve the problem. Don't tell us why you can't get it done. Tell us how you are going to get it done.
Eventually, we all pay for it anyway, you know, through some method or another. I mean, the costs come down to all of us eventually. Anyway, to wrap this up, let's get some place to go for action here. Write your congressman, write your senator, find out more where.
So you can find out more information on this issue, how you can contact your member of Congress at our website. It's faster, better, safer, all one word, fasterbettersafer.org.
I think that would be a name for a song somewhere, Faster, Better, Safer. You think they could come up with a song for that? So,
you know, that's a good idea. We may have to do that.
There you go. Work that into a phrase somehow. There we go. Ed, I thank you for some time out. Best to you in Alexandria, and thanks for stopping by here. I know we'll talk again.
Great. Good to be with you.
Take care. Bye now.
All right. See you. Yep. Take care.